Blog Talk Radio.
Frontier Beyond Fear Blog Talk Radio Program. I'm Susan Larison-Danz, and this is a very special episode of this program coming to you at a special time on Blog Talk Radio. So if you're listening live, I welcome you. If you are coming into this show for the first time, we explore many topics here that really help with your life, firsthand things that can help you improve your day-to-day experience. And that is the purpose of this show. As we work with our fears and we find more peace and joy on our paths, no matter what's happening in our lives. And we have a wonderful guest that's going to be coming on the line in just a moment. And those of you who heard the preview of this show a few days ago will appreciate how we're going to take these topics much more in depth, and I'm so delighted to see that caller Jay is also on the line, and we may bring you in too, Jay, because in the last show, Jay had questions about this topic, and we talked about it a bit. Our guest coming in a moment is Kavitha M. Shanayan, MD, and she is going to talk about her new book, Shakti Rising, Embracing Shadow and Light on the Goddess Path to Wholeness. And Kavitha has a wonderful way of combining her traditional training as a cardiologist with her knowledge of yoga, tantra, and the direct path, which we will explore as to what that is, to help all of us and her patients discover pathways out of suffering, so that we can work with our experiences and have a deeper understanding of what's happening and shift our responses to what is occurring in our lives. And she works as an integrative cardiologist at Beaumont Health System. She's an associate professor of medicine at Oakland University at the Beaumont School of Medicine, which is in Rochester, Michigan, I think. Minnesota, Michigan. Gosh, I'm having a geography challenge at the moment. Anyway, she will clarify if my geography is off. And her website is kavithamd.com. So I am going to bring her on the line here right now. It's a little slow. Here we go. There. Hello, Kavitha. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you for that
now,
wonderful
introduction. Now, tell me where you are. I was thinking, you know, I wanted to say you are on the East Coast. Where are you, Kavitha?
In Michigan.
You are in Michigan. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it right the first time. So, yes, I know the Midwest quite well. I actually used to go up to Michigan occasionally, to the UP of Michigan. So I do know that area.
Oh,
beautiful
so
up
beautiful there.
Yeah. So, and that is actually a really active area where I know there is a lot of medical research in Michigan and different things. In fact, I almost pursued a job up, kind of up that way, when I was working in software with GE Medical Systems, which is kind of up in that general area. My other life, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway.
Oh, wow. That is a small world.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am a computer scientist by training. I have a master's degree, and I went to school in Illinois. So just a little small talk here at the outset of the episode. But this show, and those of you who are joining us, perhaps for the first time, this show's been on the air for a number of years. We're in our eighth year. And it really, the intent here is exactly this. It's just to be ourselves and be ourselves and flow through this wonderful information that everyone is bringing to this program. And I have to tell you, Kavita, I learned a great deal from your book. I have much to learn in this area, and I feel many of us do. So I want to give you the opportunity to introduce, given your very unique path, how did you come to write this book, and what is your intent in bringing this to all of us?
You know, in a summarized way, I could say that this book just you know, didn't really have a purpose that I can, you know, really narrate as in I wanted people to know this or that or whatever it may be. It was primarily an outpouring of, you know, joy and creativity and really driven by Shakti. And, you know, in the process, and this is really how Shakti works, the Divine Feminine, is when we really get out of the way, then she manifests in a way that is joyful, is creative, and in the process, it may and can and does pull everybody along, you know, for the ride, including the one contributing and those that are you know, need that contribution in whatever way on their particular paths. And so there is nobody to take credit in that process except Shakti herself.
Yes, yes. And I know that at the center of the wisdom that you share is some this understanding of, you know, who are we really?
Yes.
Who are we really? And when you have this kind of creative impulse like that, I think what's so beautiful about it is it comes so beautifully from you and your unique experience. And then also, you know, like you say, there's this wisdom that's coming through you that needs to be shared.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, the process of writing is very interesting for me because it was almost like being in a trance. Like I would, you know, start writing sometimes, and then hours later, kind of look up and see, you know, realize that hours have gone by, and then go back and read what I had written, and it was really like a lot of amazement. Did I really write that? How did I know that? You know?
Uh-huh.
And,
you know, I've heard this.
Yeah, it was like a very unusual experience. And, you know, unusual I say because writing is part of my job. I'm an academic physician, so, you know, I am in the business of, you know, doing research and publishing papers in peer-reviewed journals and book chapters and whatnot. But this was nothing like the writing I had ever done.
Yes, yes. Oh, I so relate to you already. And I know that you'll find it interesting. There are listeners to this show who, you know, I seem to attract people who've done traditional research in different ways. So I totally understand. And, you know, submitting writing to a journal or, you know, I didn't get a PhD, but during my experience, certainly, I totally understand the two types of writing and how many guests have really said what you said, how when you're doing this kind of inspirational writing that is meant to really help people, it does. It just flows, and then there's this magical experience of, wow, where did that come from? Yes. And so as we step into this topic, now, I know that certainly as a cardiologist, you work with people every day who are having, you know, unexpected perhaps in some cases and significant challenges in their lives. And and we actually talked about this briefly on the last episode. I was so delighted to find online the YouTube video where you talk about the Heal Your Heart, Free Your Soul program and how at the center of your work, that and this book, is how we work when we're in a situation where we might suffer. You know, we have people who are dealing with a serious illness or anything in my life poses its challenges. And so how we work with ourselves, with the help of the goddesses, and how we work with our experience of suffering and transmute that.
Yes, absolutely. In my profession, this issue of suffering is something that is really not a stranger to most of us physicians. I mean, we see how suffering can result from disease, but then what we don't do as effectively as a community of caregivers is we don't separate the suffering from the disease process. And so we just kind of assume that if you have a problem, a health problem, probably suffering is a given. But that doesn't have to be. And so these goddesses show us that, you know, suffering is really optional.
Yes. Define where these concepts briefly originate. And I know that you talk about, and I put it in the introduction as well, this notion of the direct path. And in your book, you talk about the progressive path. And also just, what is Shakti for those who, we're all truthfully learning at a much greater depth if we have a cursory knowledge. Tell us about these concepts.
Sure. If we look at the idea of a divine power, a divine power from which the entire cosmos originates, that divine intelligence or power, or what we may want to call God, or whatever name we want to give this divinity, actually has no gender. It is a poor a word for that, but we have to do with what's available in the English language. Is that this divine power has no attributes, and so. But when we say there is a masculine energy or a force and a feminine energy, we are really talking about this divine essence from which everything originates. It contains within it all kinds of polarities, including the masculine and the feminine. So when we say masculine, here we are specifically talking about the specific attribute of what is known as Shiva. And Shiva is essentially without any attributes. So Shiva is pure awareness. And so if those of your listeners who may be familiar with the iconography of Shiva can relate to why Shiva is almost translucent, he's colorless and always very, very still, because he has no attributes. So all of the attributes that are given to Shiva are Shakti. So all of Shiva's powers to create, to sustain, to destroy, to bring forth manifestation and to dissolve everything back into nothingness, everything, all of Shiva's powers are given or are made up of different aspects of Shakti. So Shiva is one translucent still, but Shakti is numerous, countless forms of Shakti, because she represents all of those, you know, different aspects of Shiva that are important in creation. And, you know, when we say there is a masculine and feminine, it really doesn't mean much. I mean, they only mean something in relation to each other. So when we talk about the divine feminine, we are talking about the creative power. And because that creative power in most species is an attribute of the female, we call it the divine feminine because of that creative power. And she is the creator. And that is Shakti. But when we talk about Shakti, there is nothing in creation that is not Shakti. So unlike us humans, where, you know, we give birth and then the child becomes separate from the mother, so there are two beings. But that's not how Shakti operates. When she gives birth to the universe and she becomes the universe. So
yeah.
She is everything. She is us in all forms of us. So all aspects of us that we like, we don't like, our liking, our disliking, our rejection, our acceptance, doesn't matter what it is. Everything is Shakti. All the seen and the unseen energies and forces and objects, everything that is mental or emotional or abstract or concepts, everything that we can possibly conceive of is Shakti.
It seems as we reflect upon these topics, there can be these paradoxes that we encounter, and I know you speak of paradoxes. For example, there are these dual natures, in a sense, you know, darkness and light, the dark aspects and the light aspects, and yet there's non-duality. And
yes.
And I wonder if you could explore how we can enter into the mystery of that paradox, which is really what it's like.
And that is the thing, you know. It's like, you know, when we ask, and we as humans have a hard time really understanding why there should be the negative aspect of life. Why should there be so much suffering?
Yeah.
Why should there be, you know, all that we see around us, the pain and the fear and the suffering. Why should there be such a thing? But
yeah.
On the other hand, for the divine, if we take a stance at the divine, nothing that is in manifestation, including what we call suffering, is really separate from the divine. So it's like the sun, you know, the sun shines equally on both the weeds, as well as the flowers. The sun doesn't differentiate and say, okay, it's only the flowers that need the sunshine or the sunlight. So similarly, in everything, even the suffering is supported by the divine. So the paradox actually becomes more and more and more apparent as we tread this path in being able to hold two opposing viewpoints equally in our consciousness and say, yes, this is bad, and yet it's okay. As in, there could be no other way for it to be other than how it is. And so the other paradox that happens with this, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this, is when we hold this you know, paradox in our consciousness. For instance, we see injustice, and we also see the divine play in that injustice. At the same time, even though we know that that's divine, we are able to act and able to do what is required of us in order to ease the other person's pain or suffering. And,
yeah.
And you see, there is a huge paradox there, because deep down we know that actually there is no such thing as suffering. But at the same time, simultaneously, we reach out, our hearts reach out to whoever may be suffering, whoever needs help, whatever needs to flow through us, we are open to that. And so these kind of paradoxes become really very clear as we traverse the journey. And so it is even with the shadows and light within ourselves, which these great goddesses, the Mahavidyas, represent. And to be able to reconcile them and say, you know, nothing that I see of myself I need to reject. I can be okay. I'm whole, even though I may have these these perceived shortcomings or limitations or shadows. Because until we actually accept them and embrace them, those shadows don't get recognized. And as long as they are not recognized, we can't open to the light.
You know, it seems that one of the areas where when we're experiencing something that is challenging,
yeah.
we can get very
yeah.
caught up in the whys, you know, why?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? And it seems like the more you enter into the paradox of understanding, you know, that these things happen, the more you let go of the why, the more you let go of that question, why? And
yeah.
and it's easier to deal with.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is what I say, you know, in my classes and retreats and stuff where, you know, I say the one of the earliest signs or one of the sure signs we can identify on our spiritual journey is when we stop asking, why me? You know, we
yeah.
just lose the capacity to ask, why me? And,
yeah.
You know, that kind of that self-pity and the drama that revolves around our egos just falls away. And it's like,
yeah.
oh, wait. And it's like, you know, you've had a headache all day, and then suddenly at the end of the day you realize, oh, I don't have a headache anymore. It's like that. It kind of creeps up on you. And you're like, oh, wait,
yeah.
I'm no longer questioning why this is happening to me.
Yes, yes. It seems that that's the way peace arrives. I actually went through a journey on this show some time ago where a loved one was in the hospital. I had to deal with an unfolding thing where it was scary and all these different things. And I have to tell you that when I was in the hospital with my child, actually, there were these tremendous opportunities for astonishing peace. And it was as if during the midst of what I would have thought were the most challenging times of all of this, there was the most peace that
wow.
came
yeah.
miraculously
yeah.
In some ways. And I mean, I can't say it was perfectly that way, but there were. It was as if I had had enough experience with some of, not exactly the concepts you're sharing, but really similar in some ways, that
yeah.
to help in that situation. And that, it really inspired me. This was a few years ago to, you know, we all want to learn more about, you know, how we can enter in when, like in a tradition that I came from in the Western world, you know, you began to see the peace that passeth understanding. That
yes.
kind of a paradox.
Yeah.
it exists throughout traditions. It's not tied to just one tradition. And actually for me, the Eastern traditions open that up more. And
yeah.
so as I've evolved on my journey, and so it's a miraculous thing that that we can experience. And I hope that we have the time as we talk tonight to discuss in the preview of this show. We actually did step through the various goddesses and their aspects, the shadow aspects and the light aspects, and we very briefly touched upon them. And it was, these are conduits for us. These are very helpful for us to understand human experience. And so I'm hoping we'll have the chance to step through at least some of them so that we can see an example of how they manifest within our lives.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And the other thing that came up, and, you know, this word, by the way, in fact, I rather self-consciously said it the last episode, sometimes pronunciations elude us, especially in the Western world, because we have all these popular pronunciations, and they're not necessarily the way we should be saying things, but that's true. And one, in fact, this is not just a pronunciation question, this is a definition question. We seem to have a very limited understanding of what Tantra is in our, and I know that is pivotally connected to these concepts. So if you could define the deeper aspects so that we can understand how that's related to what we're exploring here.
Sure. So Tantra is a spiritual. So
yeah.
So what happens? So most people are familiar with yoga, and yoga is a path of in yoga, the way we work with our minds is that we gently favor things that are beneficial for us. Whenever non-serving kinds of situations come up. So, for instance, if we say, one common example would be if you're on the yoga mat doing your asanas and you're hurting, right? You are uncomfortable and your muscles are aching and your body just doesn't want to move in certain ways, the instruction is, focus on your breath. The breath kind of rides. So the more we kind of focus on the breath, then we can let go of this very tight identification we have with the body and kind of let the breath take us to that point where we are not so attached and not so identified with the body. So similarly, when we go through, for instance, anxiety, then we may be given a mantra or we may return to the breath again and say, well, when that is going on, you just focus on the breath. And so that's how you move away from an uncomfortable mental, physical, or emotional situation by putting your attention on something else. And so that is not just in yoga, but a lot of paths do that. So in Tantra, on the other hand, we don't do that. So in Tantra, what happens is whatever is arising in our current experience, that becomes the gateway to the divine. So if it is anxiety, we just don't try to do anything with it. Don't try to distract ourselves in any other way. We just say we don't tell stories about the anxiety. And instead, we just open up to it fully and have it move through us and show us really what lies under the anxiety. So the more we do this with various sensations and thoughts and feelings and so on, we realize the underlying sensation or the underlying pulsation of life is very blissful, ecstatic, and it's always there. It is the fundamental vibration that drives all of these other vibrations of mind, body, and spirit. So So Tantra is where we use whatever is in our experience, in our daily life, that becomes the gateway to finding the divine. So we don't replace it with anything else.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
clear?
Yes. Yes. Actually, that makes it, it's a very attractive way to think about things, because I think that we have a tendency to resist our current experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
It releases that. It just seems to be a path of tremendous release.
Yeah.
In the go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say that another thing that happens on a lot of spiritual paths is this, as you say, you know, we resist things so much, or we either resist it or we push it under the rug and want to forget about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to really focus on these high spiritual experiences so that I can forget about my, you know, relationship problems or financial problems or whatever my life issues are. I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to think about it. In fact, being spiritual is going to solve all those problems. And that kind of bypassing, you know, where we use a spiritual technique or a spirituality to bypass our current life experience is something we see in pretty much all paths. But, you know, the thing with Tantra, when done right, when taught well and learned from the right teacher, is it doesn't allow that. It doesn't allow for that spiritual bypassing to occur, because it just forces us again and again into this issue until we allow it to be as is.
Yes, yes, there's just so much that we can learn about this path, I feel, that we haven't been exposed to in the Western world. And it seems that you bring forward some things that many of us are not familiar with in the way that you share them with us. And it's very useful for us. I'm thinking that I'm going to bring in a call right now, since we're at the halfway point of the show, and this is the caller who had questions last time. And so I'm going to give Jay a little advance warning here and an opportunity to ask you a question, and then we'll enter into a deeper exploration in the second half hour of the show. For those of you joining us, this is the Frontier Beyond Fear, and welcome. We're having a special broadcast tonight with guest Kavitha M. Shanayan, and her book is Shakti Rising. All right, well, Jay, I'm going to bring you on the line so you can ask a question. Hi, Jay, you're on the line.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Susan.
Nice to have you back.
Yes, I was actually looking forward to this show, but unfortunately, you might be had to do something in the hospital, I guess, or something happened. So, but it's great to talk to you at this time.
Oh.
Kavitha, I just want, how do you say your name? Sorry?
Kavitha.
Yes. I'm a Kala Tantra practitioner, and I've been practicing this tradition. This is probably the 4,000 to 7,000 years old tradition, and it's sort of, you know, with the left hand path of the Tantra path. And
yeah.
I just wondered, I find it really, really interesting that what you're saying is reflected in what I'm practicing too. And I just wondered, in regards to that, when the Eastern philosophy or the wisdom actually hits the Western shores, it gets really, I don't know, it's not no longer pure. And I'm finding that there's a lot of misconceptions of what's going on now too. You're talking about taking some of the emotions. You don't bury them. You bring them up and you actually work with them. You know, we work with them in the heart and through the central channel and clearing too. But also it's like it really kind of like fundamentally shook me up in terms of what I learned before, like we always say who we are, it's about what we are, and they were talking about, you know, the law of attraction, it's about the law of reflection, and I just learned a lot through this meditations that we're doing about how it is important to do the maintenance on a continual basis for keeping our health and our, I don't know, our sanity, if you want to call that, and it's changing times right now. And
yeah.
So that's my question. That's my opinion, what's going on. And it's a really beautiful, Tantra is very beautiful. The classical Tantra is very beautiful. And I think it really helps myself in relationships because I can actually go find out where I am in the emotional mandala and actually work with that to find out, okay, maybe this is how I can work with it, and or stuff that comes up the rising, I can actually deal with it. But yeah, it's been a great journey.
Yeah, and you know, that's so beautiful. I love how you talk about the mandala of the emotions, and it's absolutely gorgeous if we can drop into those and you know, find them in our own bodies. And so, you know, the tradition that I study with, it talks about the yantras. You know, are you familiar with yantras?
Yes.
The geometric forms. And so these yantras are not some esoteric, you know, geometric figures that you put on your mantelpiece and forget about it. You know, these are living, breathing kind of shapes and forms that we can find in our own bodies, just as you were speaking about the mandalas. That's really something that is coming very alive for me, too, is to find these yantras within myself. And you know, whether it's the emotional mandalas we're talking about or these yantras, these are actually new neural pathways that we create when we step out of our conditioned minds and create new ways of responding to life that are based in what is in Kashmir Shaivism, for instance. We talk about Swatantra, or freedom. So that freedom to act in a moment that is free of conditioning is that Swatantra. And so the more we do that, the more neural pathways we create, and those become these yantras or these mandalas. Is that making any sense?
Oh, yes, it does. Anyway, and if I find I'm getting away from like masculine and feminine, that which creates separation.
Yes.
I find it's a dance,
yes,
between Shakti and Shiva. It's
it
form
is.
And formless. And that's what
absolutely
it is. I mean, even in,
yes,
relationships, it's a dance.
Yes,
it's not
it
compromise.
Is.
It's a dance.
Yes, yes. So that's what I was trying to say, you know, right in the beginning, is that, you know, these things that we say masculine and feminine is really for understanding that really they are never separate. Because Shiva and Shakti are like saying fire and it's heat. You cannot separate them. One is in the other, and when we talk about the divine feminine, the masculine is implied in that, because you know, one of many of Shakti's names is Shiva, which means she is also Shiva. So yeah, you're absolutely right that we can't separate them.
And from the understanding that when I did the practice about, you know, in 2016, I did 40 days. It was actually a 7-month course on this, on the called the Yoga of Mind, and it actually has to do with the different elements, right? The earth,
mm-hmm,
all the different elements to cultivate. It's actually working with elements of the cosmos. That's what I
mm-hmm
call it. Yeah, and it was really fascinating to work with those different elements according to how they actually represent it in our bodies, energies in our bodies. And that was really fascinating, too, and how to deal with the liberate aspects and also obstructive aspects of those feelings and things, so of those elements. It was really, really fascinating.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, the macrocosm is, like our microcosm or our mind-body map is a perfect reflection of the macrocosm. So so what you're saying makes perfect sense because, you know, if we can map those things, we find that there is really no difference between them. And it's And the beauty of Tantra is, you know, there are so many different ways of working with things. There isn't one particular way. And we kind of evolve into being able to find these micro ways of doing things which are pretty novel to our own specific situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, this experience, you know, from Tantra, well, how that actually came from Tantra,
yes.
Which is really interesting.
Absolutely.
And then all the different yogas came from that too. And it's just like, it's really how where Tantra actually first started. And it's just an amazing experience. And it's so pure. It's just, it kind of like this Tantra that actually has been here for such a long time, and still, if the lineage is actually pure, it really brings to light of how much like stuff is out there that is so watered down and, you know, did their own way, and there's just ego. It just, it kind of blows my mind, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
That's so true. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you. I'm just looking forward to the rest of the show. Thank you so much,
oh,
Susan.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Jay, for everything
you
add to this program. It's much appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. Om Shanti. Bye-bye.
Such thoughtful questions. Heartful, really. We have so many people who are exploring that are out there listening. And some, you know, some of us are just being exposed to some of these things for the first time and coming into an understanding and really...
Yeah.
Really yearning to know more at a deeper level. I think that's part of what's happening more in the West, so to speak, and is that we are desiring to know more about some of these concepts and how they relate. And I know the show is going by fairly fast, and so I thought that maybe it is. It's been a very relaxed time. It's kind of nice. I think I like these nighttime shows. They just flow very, very organically and naturally, which is nice. I'm hoping that we can explore a little bit about the goddesses and how you describe what they are, and we may not be able to get through all of them, but just maybe a couple of examples of how they can help us to understand our human experience at a much deeper level. And some will be familiar to most people, and others are at least at a surface level, and many not as much, like Kali, for example.
Yeah.
And so I would love it if you could just gently explore some of a few of these concepts so that we can see how they relate to our experience.
Sure thing. So in Shakti Rising, you know, what is described is a particular set or a sequence of goddesses known as the Mahavidya. And Maha literally means great, and Vidya means wisdom. So these are the 10 great goddesses of wisdom, or the goddesses of cosmic wisdom is a better way of saying that. So what that means is that, so when I was talking initially at the beginning of the show, we were talking about, you know, Shiva and Shakti and how they're really not separate. So in Tantric philosophy, what the Tantric sages describe is that initially, in the beginning, before time, before space, there is, before creation, the divine rests as a potential. So there is nothing, no movement, nothing. It just rests as a potential. And the first movement within this potential is self-recognition. So this self-recognition is this arising of this awareness, I am. Of being, an awareness of being, and that that awareness of being is really, one way to describe that is Shiva looking back at himself is Shakti. So she is his self-recognition. So, and that creates the first separation, or that the Big Bang begins there with the seeming separation between the witness or witnessing awareness, which is Shiva, and everything that is going to arise in Shiva, which is all forms, which is Shakti. So at that point of the Big Bang, if we consider that, there is simultaneous creation of time and space and, you know, other physical forces. So all of these creative forces, the 10 main creative forces like time and space, are represented by these 10 Mahavidyas. So the most famous of them, of course, is Kali, and she is the first Mahavidya. And she is first because she represents time. Creation begins with time. Without time, there cannot be creation, because that linear time is needed for creation, for that creation to be sustained, and for it to be destroyed so that the next cycle can begin. So all of that happens in linear time. So without linear time, there is no depth, there is no duality, there is nothing. There is no past, there is no present, there is no future. And all of our suffering comes from the linear timeline, being caught in that. So Kali's shadow, we can say, is one of being trapped in linear time. So she creates the illusion of this linear time where we forget the eternal now, which is always here, which is always now. It's always now. Right? By the time you say present, it's already gone. The moment is gone. And there is no way for us to think about the future, because even before we think about it, it comes and goes. So it's very, very mercurial, just like Kali is. So when you look at her iconography, you know, she is in the cemetery, and she's extremely fierce. And that's one thing that all Mahavidyas have in common. They're all very fierce. Even the ones that look really nice and beautiful, they have very fierce aspects to them. So she's in the cemetery, you know, she's dancing wildly with this wild hair and has a garland of human heads, and she has a freshly chopped human head in one hand. She has a bloodied sword in the other and various other weapons in other arms. And all around her, you see these corpses. But remember what she represents. She represents time. So when you really reflect on this iconography and you think, why is she so violent? I mean, what's going on here? And you see that, so all around her, these corpses basically represent our dead past. You know, nothing remains of our past except memory. But we have this innate ability to hang on to our past hurts and our betrayals and whatnot, and, you know, simmer in them. So she is cutting off these heads, and these heads are really those that are arising in linear time. And so what happens is, if we step out of linear time, we step out of the ego, because our identity as this body and mind is sustained in linear time. So at every moment, she's chopping off our head and giving us the opportunity to step out of linear time and realize the eternal now, where, you know, our mind and body are just forms arising in our eternal bliss consciousness, which is our true nature. So, which is who we really are, or what we really are. So when you see, look at Kali, that's what she's doing. You know, all these heads around her, they are ours. They are those of us being stuck in linear time. And so she's giving us an opportunity to wake up in every timeless moment. So on the other hand, you know, what the Mahavidyas not only represent, these macrocosmic forces, but they also represent shadow and light qualities within us. And that's why they're so unique. They don't represent only the light, but they also show us, because life is never only the good or only the bad, but a combination of the two, and dualities are necessary, because how can you say light if there's no darkness? How can you say darkness when there's no light? So you need both. And so Kali's shadow is obviously, in her iconography we see, it's violence. And her light is actually nonviolence. So if you really understand what she's chopping off, you see her absolute compassion, that she is giving us this opportunity every single moment by cutting off our ego, by allowing that moment to pass so that we can let the past go. We can stop, you know, obsessing about the future and remain here in this eternal now. So the nonviolent part of her, or that light of Kali, is nonviolence, which comes when we realize the violence that we carry around in our own hearts, which is based in linear time. You know, when we judge somebody, when we compare somebody, how we think about somebody, even as we are listening to somebody, we are already forming judgments, and, you know, we're passing verdicts already, you know, and so we don't really need to be carrying around weapons or, you know, harming people physically in order to be violent. How we think is pretty darn violent. And so when we reflect on our own qualities and we see our aggressions and microaggressions, then we can start working on them and say, okay, then we suddenly have compassion for those that are violent. It's like, oh, yeah, I know this because I'm that way too. And so when you can see yourself in another person and you can see the divinity in both of us, that leads to this radical nonviolence. And so Kali, that's how she works in our day-to-day lives, by constantly showing us, you know, what we need to be working on and making us aware of the various ways in which we are being aggressive and being violent, even without saying a single word.
Yes, yes. It seems that, you know, the stark imagery, I guess, the vivid image of these goddesses, it takes us deeper, and it may be jarring. I mean, it's meant to be. Is it may be surprising,
yes,
to those in the audience. And you know, it's something that I find myself reflecting upon, and actually, it brings me into a much deeper understanding of various things I've been exposed to in my life, and people that you know, that found that vivid imagery, such as it can be a form of liberation in a sense of understanding. And
yeah,
you know, when you talk about Kali, and you know, what I tend to think about is, you know, we all have, you know, you don't have to be violent to have experienced that judgmental, there can be tremendous judgmentalness out there in just our regular everyday life, you know, no matter what we're doing in the workplace and in different places. And it really leads us to reflect on,
yeah,
on seeing those things in us and coming to an understanding of that. And we see a lot of this right now. I think because of the state of the world, it seems like a lot of us are shaken up by,
yes,
by what's happened. And you can see things. You'll see surprising, you know, statements from people that maybe you wouldn't expect. And it just seems like it helps us to accept where we are in the world right now,
yes,
so that we know that we're journeying through this experience for a reason, and there's a deliverance in that.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I feel about sometimes about the current state of affairs or the current issues of the world, but this is the goddess saying, no, no more spiritual bypassing. No more bypassing of any social, cultural issues is going to be acceptable. Everything needs to come out into the open so you can become aware of really what's happening.
Yes. It seems like it's something that can be very helpful to us in these times, really.
Yeah.
To come into a greater understanding of and peace, really, so that we don't suffer so much. I know a lot of people right now, this past year has been very challenging because of what's happening in the world. And if we view it in a different way, then we don't have to be so very troubled all the time. And also, maybe we are troubled sometimes. Like you said, we have to be in the presence of that emotion. I mean, and we have reason.
Yeah.
But it's still, this is very important for us. And I feel like
Absolutely. We're
only just touching upon these concepts because we're very close to the end of the live hour. And I'm very thankful to Blog Talk Radio that they have brought this show to the front page tonight during prime time,
thank you.
I'm very thankful for that because I feel that people will be exposed to your work, Kavita. And
thank you so much.
There's so much more that we could explore here. And I want to give you the opportunity before the live audience goes away in a few minutes to tell them where they can find more about your work.
Absolutely. My website is a great place to start, kavitamd.com. And I also wanted to let you know that I'm creating a 12-week online course on the book. And so we will delve actually quite deeply into each goddess's iconography and practices and, you know, realizing these aspects in daily life. So we will be delving quite deeply into these issues and doing a lot of stuff that's not in the book. So that's going to start in January. So if anybody is interested, please sign up for my newsletter and I'll be able to send information when the course becomes available. And so, the website has really all the links to my work and my upcoming book. I have another book coming out in January and all the latest is available there.
Oh, well, that's wonderful to hear that you're certainly in a very creative spirit right now to have all these things that are under development and another book as well. So I hope to have the chance to talk with you again. It's so that we take even deeper. And so but thank you so much for being here tonight. For this special broadcast.
Oh, it's wonderful. I just didn't realize this hour passing by.
I know. That's why I think, you know, I hope that we can have you on again at some point so we can explore some of these things even more deeply. There's a lot here to work with.
Yes.
So I'm very
Absolutely.
Happy that
I would love to. I would love to.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Kavita, for being here, and I hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you, and have a very lovely evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
And yes, the show has just sped by tonight. We've just been breathing through it, and it's been a very relaxed time. But before the live audience goes, I want to invite you to come to this show, which normally airs during the noon hour or so in Pacific time. FrontierBeyondFear.com is the website. And we have another show coming up Friday with Susie Miller, who has done a lot of work, The Journey Back to Love. That'll be on Friday, November 17th, and I invite you to spend some time with us then. And thank you for being here, live audience. Now we're talking across time. We talked about the illusion of time. Those of you who have been with us in the podcast across time, listening in the future, recognizing your energy now. Thank you for being with us here at this time. And I hope you have the opportunity to explore these concepts much more deeply, because I know that that's what I'm called to do. It seems that more and more, as we open ourselves up on our transformative journeys, older ancient concepts come to us, and yet there are aspects that are familiar in a way. And it's there really is a wonder to the continuing awakening journey. And I hope that those of you listening are joining me on that journey all together, because we truly, as we shift our own lives, we can have an impact on the world as well. And thank you to those of you listening in other parts of the world as well, outside of the U.S. From my heart, I am so thankful that you have discovered us here. So, again, I hope whenever you are listening to this show, you find peace on your path. And this show will be highlighted on Frontier Beyond Fear for quite a while, and it'll be in the archive. And I really do invite you to explore Kavita's website and her book, and I look forward to seeing what's coming from her in the future as well, because she's really bringing forth some powerful wisdom. So thank you, everyone, for being here. ¶¶